Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Another blitz coming. Young looking over the middle, throws, and it's picked off by Brown! At the 23-yard line, the second of the game for Jair.
Best game of the year for Jair Brown.
Two picks. Thank you so much to 49ers Radio Network. Final score was 20-9, Pearl, although it felt like the 49ers were always in control of this game, which is rare when your quarterback throws three interceptions all in the first half, but the Panthers could only turn that into 3 points. This was a bad Panther game, but I don't know if anyone's really expecting the Panthers. You know, they blew an opportunity to take first place in the NFC South. As far as like long-term outlook, I don't know how excited people are about the Panthers. The 49ers, on the other hand, are really interesting because they now have 8 wins on the season, which you would think, oh, this is a good team. They have 8 wins, but I'm not so sure if they're a good team.
Well, they're okay. I mean, they're probably going to go to 10-4 because they have Tennessee and Cleveland next, and playoffs seems pretty safe based on all the odds. But are they good enough to win a playoff game? By talent, no. By coach, maybe. I'm not sure who they would end up playing. I imagine the Rams will capture the division, so it'll be a wild card. Maybe they go to Green Bay or something. Who knows what's going to happen here? But I think they're going to have a chance to win a playoff game. Are we talking Super Bowl? No way. There's just no way that they're going to get past the Rams, the Eagles, the Lions, the Packers. I just think they go on a run with this talent level right now where they are. Unless Brock Purdy completely transforms. But the quarterback you saw last night, do you see him making a run?
No, I don't. And, you know, obviously he's coming off a 3-pick game, so maybe this is the wrong time to ask, although he probably should have thrown 2 interceptions last week against the Cardinals, but the Cardinals' defensive backs just dropped those passes. But you're saying that they're definitely a playoff team. Okay. They're the 7th seed right now. If the playoffs start, were to start today, but they've got some teams behind them that are very interesting. First is Detroit. So if you think the Chicago Bears and Green Bay and Detroit are all getting in the playoffs in the NFC North.
Well, I didn't say the Bears.
You think the Bears with 8 wins also are going to drop out?
Well, I know Detroit, and I think Detroit and Green Bay both have higher playoff odds than the Bears.
Okay, well, they both have 7 wins where the Bears have 8 wins. I'm just saying if we're even jockeying for wild card. Right?
No, like, I mean, I think the Niners can out jockey. I'm not worried about any of those teams. They have way harder schedules.
Okay, and then your precious Dallas Cowboys, who I know you wrote a whole big piece about their path to the playoffs. The Cowboys are sitting there at 10. Obviously, Carolina is at 9, but they just won the head-to-head against Carolina. I don't know here. The 49ers just feel like purely a function of their schedule, and they're going to Cleveland, and they're a 6-point favorite now next week with Shedeur Sanders. I don't know if it's a given.
You're right. If they can't beat Cleveland, then they don't deserve to be here. But they also have Chicago coming to San Francisco. They'll be favored in that game. Seattle might not be playing for anything in week 18. I just think that if they can get to 11 wins, then they're fine. 11 will get you in. 11 almost always gets you in. There was one year where the Dolphins didn't get in with 11. The reason the Cowboys and the Packers are in good shape is they have that tie.
Yeah.
So if they can get to 10, what is it? I can't do the math. Manny, help me out. 10-6-1?
Yeah.
That'll get you in, too. That's almost like having 11 wins. But I think the Niners are going to be fine. If they can win at Cleveland, all they have to do is not pass the ball. So Myles Garrett cannot kill Brock Purdy, and have Mac Jones sitting there right behind him, because just watch out for Myles Garrett. Do not block him with one guy like they did, the Raiders tried to do. That was ridiculous. And they're fine. I mean, how many points do they really need to win to beat Cleveland?
Well, 21? Not many. Yeah, no, not many. I'll give you that. You know, it's funny. The 49ers playoff odds are actually massive. They're like 89% chance to make the playoffs right now. And even if they lose three of their last six games, is that right? Wait, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pardon me, I'm doing math now. Even if they lose three of their last five games, they still have a 60% chance to make the playoffs. I don't know. It's so interesting about the 49ers, right? They have all this drama going on with Brandon Ayuk. Hell, their quarterback has missed several games this season, and yet it feels like they're always just hanging around. Either some years they're hanging around, some years they're dominant. It's an odd franchise, a proud franchise, but it's an odd era here to kind of get your finger on when we're looking at the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era. Because you said something else about Kyle Shanahan is this amazing playoff coach.
In the early rounds, for sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like he does have a great playoff record. He's 8-4 in playoff games, but he has these really high-profile losses as well in the Super Bowl. One as an offensive coordinator with Atlanta, and then the two, you know, double-digit leads that they held in fourth quarters against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and lost both those games. It's just...
The 49ers are
just a lot.
It's hard to see any of that coming in this year's playoff. I mean, this schedule is absolutely, utterly insane. There's the AFC East and the Niners seem to get these crazy schedules that make no sense. I mean, look at the teams they beat. Carolina, Arizona, who's given up on the season. The Giants, who are terrible. Falcons, who are utterly terrible. They did beat the Rams. Now, that one is impressive. But then the Cardinals, Saints, and the early season win over the Seahawks. So, you know, I don't think the Seahawks really knew who they were at that point of the season. This is working out. It's working out nicely. So at least they get to the playoffs. 89%. Was that according to the Times?
Yeah,
I mean, the Vegas odds are probably a little bit lower than that. But the thing about all those other teams, they have to play each other. The Lions' schedule's tough. The Bears have a very tough schedule. They're not favored in many games moving forward at all. So I think the Niners have a good path. If they do not make it, that is a total implosion. And that's really on Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If I were to ask you, what's the biggest surprise of the season so far? And I guess when you look at the division leaders right now, who are you most stunned to be at the top of the standings?
I mean, it's got to be the Patriots. We knew the Patriots might be good because we're talking about easy schedules. Their schedule is
cupcake.
Insane.
Yep.
But their win total coming in the season was 8.5. They're already at 10-2. And we knew Drake May was promising. He's already an MVP candidate. This happened way faster than I thought it was going to happen.
Yep.
And I'm not totally sure that they're a contender by any means. But at 8.5 win total to win probably 13 games, that is very surprising to me. Because to win 13 games, you are elite. Like, you're a contender. I had no idea. No idea that Mike Vrabel could do this quick. I knew he was a good coach. We all knew that. But they look just really, at times, dominant. At times, they go back to the old Patriots. But last week was not the prettiest game of all time.
No.
I just can't believe how good their offense is. Because look who Drake May is throwing to. I mean, it's not exactly murderer's row there. And Travion Henderson got a late start. They're running back at Ohio State. I had literally, if you asked me before the season, I'm like, oh yeah, I could see Mike Vrabel sneaking into a wild card. Being the number one seed in the AFC, I would not have believed you.
Is it Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit, but is it him? Is he responsible for the offense, or is this Josh McDaniels? And, you know, McDaniels, the stock could not get any lower after the Raiders stint, obviously, and he got fired there. But as an offensive coordinator with the Patriots, Josh McDaniels is nails. Like, I think he's really helped Drake May, because you're definitely right. Who is he throwing to?
Yeah, but Vrabel won all these games in Tennessee, though.
Well, he's throwing to Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's a help.
Yeah, but I think that Vrabel, though, is proven he can win a ton of regular season games. I don't know. I can't credit Josh McDaniels.
Why?
I can't do that. Because it's
you're
Josh
Mr.
McDaniels.
Against the grain. It'd be against the grain to give Josh McDaniels all this credit.
He's getting a lot of love for this, but I think it's Vrabel will coach the game he's in and find a way to win. Yeah, I don't really see this as a function of Josh McDaniels, except that obviously Vrabel got him back in the fold here. Yeah. Did you see them being this good at all?
No, especially after the first loss to the Raiders at home. I was like, oh boy, I guess the Patriots are going to take a little bit longer to get this thing going. I couldn't tell the difference in that first game between Vrabel and Jerod Mayo. I thought it was the same, same. Well, I think what's almost most impressive about the Patriots, they're not my pick for this, but just to add to your argument, not only are they 10-2, the Patriots are 6-0 on the road. That's impressive. For a second-year quarterback, Pearl, and for...
I mean, yeah.
Their schedule is not amazing, but
at Tennessee,
but still,
at New Orleans. They did win that game against the Bills. I was shocked. I was sure that was one of the ones where you were just doing a Lou Holtz and making the opponent look really, really good coming to that game. But you told me, watch out, they could drop this game, and you were right.
Yep. Okay, so that's your most surprising division leader. Mine's got to be Indianapolis. They're at 8 wins right now. Came into the season, win total was 7.5. So they surpassed that. But to me, it's about how Daniel Jones became this guy. Now, they're coming off a loss to the Chiefs. So, you know, maybe this is not the right day to be singing the praises of Daniel Jones, because at the end of the game, he basically could not complete a pass. Not basically. He could not complete a pass and went 9 straight passes without a completion. But I thought this was Houston's division to win now for the next 5 years. And I thought that the Colts were doing that thing again where they were cycling through veteran quarterbacks trying to find a guy. It was Phillip Rivers. It was Carson Wentz. They brought Matt Ryan back. Flacco was in the building. Then they take the swing on Anthony Richardson. It's a disaster. Like, he's got all the talent, but he has no ability or whatever. And then he got hurt. And you thought, all right, everyone's getting fired, and Shane Steichen's on the hot seat and all of that, and look at what they've done. And listen, the rest of that division outside of Tennessee, they're not terrible. Jacksonville Jaguars are not a terrible team. Houston's not terrible. Their offense has taken a minute to get together, and C.J. Stroud is hurt. But to me, Indy being top of the AFC South is shocking.
Yeah, but you see them sustaining this. Aren't you a little worried that they're going to slide a little bit? In fact, there's a real chance they don't win the division.
Well, we're doing this exercise today. So I don't know what the future is going to hold for Indy. I mean, they were leading KC 20-9 with 7 minutes left to go in that game. They should have won that game.
I totally understand what you're saying. But I look at this team, I'm like, are they that much different than the team? Listen, what's more impressive, to go 8-3 with Daniel Jones or to have a winning record with Anthony Richardson as starting quarterback? I mean, Shane Steichen has won with everybody a quarterback. He was 9-8 with Gardner Minshew, basically. Then he was 8-9 with a combination of Joe Flacco, Anthony Richardson. Who is the other guy? I feel like somebody else got some shot last year. So they know how to win games. My only concern is their season is going to end up closer to the last two seasons than we think. I don't see them continue their winning way. I think they, at best, split with Houston. And then I think the Jags might get him too. I think they're going to end up being an 11-6 team. That's why I didn't love the Sauce Gardner trade, because I thought that they over-scouted themselves. He's great, by the way. Sauce has looked really good there. But you make a trade like that when you think you're on the brink of a Super Bowl. I don't quite see them there. So, yeah, did I see them being 8-3 at this point in the season? No. But look at their schedule, Maggie. Houston at Jacksonville, at Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville again, and Houston again. It's possible that they don't get more than 11 wins. And then what are we making of this whole season? Is it really going to go where we want it to go? Where I think the Patriots, again, I argue the Patriots, they could fall flat in playoffs too. But they're going to end up at 13 or 14 wins, which is insane.
Yeah, they're going to have home field throughout, most likely. You know, we're asking what's the most surprising division leader right now. Is the answer actually the Broncos? Because you are in a division with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs are not even in second place. They're in third place right now in that division. The Chargers have got off to a very good start, and now we'll see if they can handle the injuries on the offensive line.
Well, right. The Broncos, I like what you're saying. The Broncos being good is not shocking.
No, they made the playoffs last year.
Not Kansas City not being better is shocking.
Yes, that's the more interesting part of it. You know, you could also maybe throw a vote in here for the Bears. The Bears being in first place, but it almost feels like I still don't exactly know how the Bears are doing this. How are they winning all these last second games? It's impressive, but you almost want to say, all right, take a screenshot of the standings because I don't know how long they're going to be in first place.
Yeah.
Big game coming up against your Eagles on Black Friday.
So they got the Eagles, at Packers, Cleveland, Green Bay, at San Francisco, and Detroit. Oof. It's going to be hard. That is going to be fun. But maybe they give the Eagles a hard. Eagles are struggling on offense. I'm not sure this is a guaranteed one way or the other. Maybe all these teams, the Colts, Bears, we're waiting for them all to fall apart. But I'll tell you my pick. No one expects the Patriots to fall apart because they don't play anybody except your Bills.
Yeah. What's the you were just recording your Sports Minute in the break, yeah. And what you did the line, you are what your record says, yeah. You are, right?
No, but that's not true generally.
I don't think that's the story of this year. Because there's a lot of teams whose record might not be what they are, you know? San Francisco, who played last night and beat the Carolina Panthers 20-9, if you didn't stay up for that one, doesn't feel like they're really a solid 8-win team right now. Patriots, good team. Again, 6-0 on the road, but they've played absolutely no one outside of Buffalo. And by the way, beating the Bills right now is not exactly, you know, like a big feat.
The Bills
lost to Miami.
Bills are at least 7-4. I mean, that's better than beating some teams. New England has both New York teams left on their schedule. That's nice. And they have the Dolphins to close out the season. I mean, I don't know. The Dolphins, by the way, I feel, have they played in a month? I don't know what they are, but they might be actually okay. That might be a harder game than we think. Yeah, I agree. I don't know how you exactly word that. It is not a what your record says you are year. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like college football.
You get that Big Ten, that bottom of the Big Ten schedule.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're in business. Let's go to Larry, who's in Rochester. Good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
We're great. You outside, man?
All right, great. Yeah, I'm driving. I'm working. I got but I just pulled over, so I'm good to go.
Okay. What's on your mind?
You guys talking about the upcoming game between San Fran and Cleveland. I remember, as a gambler, Perloff, you should know all your bad beats, right? Those stick in your head. I remember 2 years ago, 2 years ago, San Fran was at Cleveland and San Fran was -9. I just had a free square. I thought I was a free square on the money line, put them in my parlay, and they were the only loser. They lost that day to Philip Walker. So why can't Shador beat this team on? They didn't look that great last night. I'm scared as hell. I look at it first, and I'm like a free square, licking my chops. And then I remember that bad beat 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And I think that San Fran team was better then, and I think that Cleveland team was worse back then than it is now. What's your guys' thoughts on that game coming up?
Who was the Browns quarterback on that game?
Philip Walker.
Oh, it was Philip Walker was on the Browns. Remember when Jameis beat the Steelers too? The Browns will surprise you once in a while. They do have the best defensive player on the planet, so maybe he's right.
Larry, I remember that game because didn't they knock Brock Purdy around in that game? He got completely crunched, and I think he missed the next game, if I'm not mistaken. Now I'm doing this off memory.
Yeah, they smoked them, and they were a 9-point favorite at Cleveland, and they got rocked.
Hey, Larry, can I ask you a question? Because I married a guy from Rochester, New York. And I'm from upstate, and so I'm kind of like an honorary member of Rochester. Can you describe what a garbage plate is?
Yeah, garbage plate is mac salad, home fries, basically two cheeseburgers, hot sauce, ketchup, mustard. Basically, that's a garbage plate.
And how many lives have you seen a garbage plate save?
Oh my God, it's great. It's the late night food of choice in Rochester, New York.
Larry, thank you for that. I think sometimes the crew here doesn't believe me that's cuisine.
I know.
In Western New York.
I'm familiar with the cuisine of Western New York.
Manny went to college in Buffalo, so he got a little taste.
A little beef on weck, why not?
It's like you guys don't think that would ruin lives, right? What Larry just described.
Yeah.
Mac salad. It's
a garbage plate. You want to order that?
Yeah, you think that kills people. It saves people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
mm-hmm.
it's the night of or the day after.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage plate.
Why aren't you just eating wings 24/7? That's what you guys have. Just do that.
Well,
garbage plate stuff. We don't need this.
There's two more meals of the day.
So what? Three meals. You can have wings for three meals, right? You know, mix up the blue cheese with something different maybe for your morning or whatever.
Yeah.
The garbage plate. I don't understand this. You got America's greatest food right there. Eating garbage plates.
You want to know what it is, EJ? You don't drink, so.
Yeah, you get inebriated and have one of those. It's one of the best meals you've ever had in your life.
Exactly. Manny's got it. You know, it's a certain kind of state of being that you have to be in.
You have to be out of your mind.
You got to be out of your mind.
That man said he put home fries on a Mac salad.
Delicious.
You know what I mean? That was good?
Yeah, it was.
And he didn't even mention, sometimes they just put the Texas hots on there, the hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not either drunk or hungover, it's not going to hit right.
I think if you need to be drunk or hungover, food to be good, it's probably...
Easy.
No, listen, I love myself a late night Taco Bell run too. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I can eat Taco Bell and whether I'm
drunk or sober.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This, I don't think, if I only can drink it, eat it when I'm sober or whatever, and flip it, like, no way.
How do we get a garbage plate down to his reception down in Baltimore? Are you going to get inebriated for that one?
Oh, are you going to drink at your wedding? That'd be crazy.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Manny's
been hopeful, though.
No, but if you never drink, the night of your wedding is not the night to do it.
Do it a week before. Get some tolerance up, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, just a week before. I'm sure that'll help.
Yeah.
I'm sure Andre will love a week of preparation, and I'm just hammered for a week.
She'll love it.
No, the bachelor party. That's where if you're really going to experiment with something, then you got your guys around you doing whatever you're going to do.
Experiment, maybe, a couple pills, some LSD.
He's Manny.
How hard are you going, Manny?
No. That's not what we're doing.
Bring it back. Dial it in, dude.
Garbage plates.
Yeah.
So take some pills, do some whatever, and then the garbage plates, I'll be straight.
That's Rochester way.
You know, it's Western really slippery slope, Pearl, and obviously, you are married. You got to figure out how, if you are drinking at your wedding, it's a very fine line because you don't want to. I know people who don't remember walking down the aisle, and you don't want that to be you.
No, that's not true. I don't like alcohol, so it's like I can't imagine drinking that much.
Yeah.
In fact, my signature drink is probably going to be a mocktail.
There you go.
We're already working that.
So people pregame before I thought you drank at the reception.
Well, the person I know who doesn't remember walking down the aisle was so nervous for their own wedding. Which, EJ, to your point, if you have to be drunk or hungover to eat the garbage plate, is it really cuisine? If you are so nervous to walk down the aisle, should you be walking down the aisle? But anyway, they don't remember because they were so nervous they were drinking to calm their nerves.
Ah.
Oh, I see.
And then, whoop-de-doo, then all of a sudden you're blackout drunk.
Yeah, don't you do like the little shot before?
I didn't.
Yeah.
But I also didn't want to be drunk at my wedding because I wanted to be present.
I don't think I've ever seen a bride or a groom be drunk at their wedding.
Oh.
Like at the altar,
it seems.
I just had flashbacks to all the weddings of it.
A lot of Southern Tier weddings.
At the altar?
Well, at the altar, that's unique.
You're going to be so busy trying. You're going to get, it's going to be 15 minutes before you're about to do your vows, and Aunt so-and-so is going to be lost like around the corner. Yeah, you're going to be dealing with logistics.
That's what I'm worried about.
And by the way, and maybe it's a male thing because the woman is dealing with the dress. The men are like, there are so many relatives who are having logistical problems if you have a big family.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's going to be insane.
I'm aware. Yeah, I'm aware. I saw my friend go through this, He's like, he told his wedding planner, don't let anyone come near me.
Yeah. Well, you have three brothers, so you could really pawn this off onto them. Like, hey, it's your job to deal with Uncle so-and-so.
But my brothers, you've seen them, Pearl. I mean, one of them at least. They're very laid back. So I don't think anything's
going to get... You're the oldest.
Nothing's going to get accomplished if I'm shipping a task to them.
But also, you're going to have to deal with Andrea's family as well. Because they don't know her. I mean, they don't know her family.
Yeah, that's going to be a
because the bride is very busy. Like that's a different level busy. Yeah, no, it's going to be it'll go like that. The actual until the party, it goes like that. Then the party goes fast too.
Sounds so much fun.
No, best day of your life though. Really, really cool stuff. 888-710 4ISN. Pearl, Pearl watches team win a Super Bowl.
I mean, I had two children, so those were the two best days of my life.
Yeah, but
sweet.
Who cares? You ever won the 2009 World Series championship? That was the best day of my life.
No, that was the worst day of my life.
Oh, yeah. Great day.
Oh, right.
Great day.
Because you beat the Phils.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Darn Matsui.
November 4th, 2009.
888-710-4ISN. All right, there you go. So we talked a little bit about the 49ers there, and is eight wins, are they what the record says they are? And what's the NFL team that surprised you the most this season? Perloff says the Patriots. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts. Coming up, do we have drama with Bill Belichick? Stop me if you've heard that. M&P.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you just missed a wonderful introduction. Oh, geez, Louise. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Are the Niners Super Bowl contender?
Perloff's been talking for 40 seconds without the mic
on. I thought you guys were talking behind the glass. I was about to get into your ears. Hey, guys, we're back on air. Hello.
Sorry about that. Are the 49ers Super Bowl contender? Go to X, Maggie and Pearl. 76% say no. I'd like to hear from the other 24% because last night was ugly. The Niners, by the way, are the first team to throw three first-half picks and win the game since your 2021 Browns. Love that from ESPN Insights and Info. I mean, come on. You can throw three picks in the first game and still, first half and still win easily. What does that tell you?
It means NFL's your opponent sucks.
NFL's got to stop scheduling the NFC South in prime time late in the season. Get those out of the way early in the season when Tampa Bay is still healthy and then move on because Carolina did not seem interested in being there last night.
Are they not interested or are they just not talented? And the Falcons beat my Bills in primetime, by the way, so maybe some of them can still get scheduled. But I thought last night, I just don't understand. I know Dave Canales knows more football than I'll ever know, Pearl, I'm sure, as a head coach and as a talented offensive coordinator. But I just also didn't understand what they were doing last night. You got just one example. You have a 2nd and 8, mm-hmm. okay? And you go empty where the... It's not even like the pass rush was so amazing last night for either team, but you're in empty. You're not even faking play action, anything like that. And Bryce Young had to take off and run and then got crunched. I don't understand it. It felt very difficult in a Cisco defense is not even that awesome. And it felt difficult for the Panthers to even get a first down.
Well, I mean, he
complete
fell behind.
A pass.
He fell behind. I think they also had issues on the defense side of the ball. The 49ers' first drive was 8 minutes and 43 seconds. Like, you're already in trouble. And they scored a touchdown. And then they had that short field, and Bryce Young threw one of the worst interceptions of the year. Basically, you're down by two scores the whole game, and you're right, he should have stuck with the run a little bit more. Unfortunately, they didn't really have that much of an opportunity to run the ball. I mean, they didn't have their hand on the ball that much, and Bryce Young was totally ineffective. That one drive at the end of the third quarter, that looked good. I'm not sure why that wasn't there the rest of the game.
We'll get to Bill Belichick's latest drama in a moment, but Andrew Bogish is here with all the latest headlines. What's up?
Guys, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Skechers. Watch the Skechers World Champions Cup this December 4th, 5th, and 7th on ESPN and ABC. Oh, those Carolina Panthers could have woken up today alone atop the NFC South, but did not take advantage of their opportunities in Santa Clara.
Young takes the snap. He's back on a play fake, rolling to his right, looking, floats it back in the end zone. It is intercepted picked off by Jair Brown in the back of the end zone.
That's the bad pick Pearl just mentioned. Ryan Ratke called it on Westwood One. Young picked off on first and goal from the one. The INT, part of the reason why Carolina only scored 3 points off three Brock Purdy picks in that first half. They lose 29, now 6-6, a half game behind the Bucs.
A couple plays you want to have back, a couple stuff they could do better. Haven't watched the film yet, but you go out there and live it. Doesn't feel great, sucks. Going to be a sucky playing right back, but we got a short week. We got to turn the page. We got to flush it quick.
Yeah, that short week ends with a game against the Red Hot Rams. The Niners, meanwhile, get win number 8 despite Purdy's early struggles. Christian McCaffrey, 142 scrimmage yards and a rushing TD in his first game against his first team. The Bengals said yesterday that Joe Burrow's expected back from turf toe Thursday night against the Ravens, and Ja'Marr Chase said he did spit at Jalen Ramsey like we all saw two Sundays ago. Chase apologizing for that and for getting suspended in a post on social media.
Did he really apologize? He never mentioned Jalen Ramsey's name in the apology.
That's fine. It is one of the busiest weeks in college hoops. Games on campus, in Vegas, in Maui, on Caribbean islands.
Oh, fun.
So coaches have a lot of planning to do. Like, when do we actually eat turkey? The UConn men have a Black Friday date with Illinois at MSG, so here is Dan Hurley's unique plan.
What's in the turkey, Bobby? No. What makes people sleepy?
Tryptophan.
So we're not going to eat the tryptophan on Thursday and be sluggish as on Friday. So we're going to eat the tryptophan, the turkey and everything on Wednesday, so that all the tryptophan is out of our system by the time we get to MSG.
It's like it's wheat or something. You got to pee it out.
How long does tryptophan stay in your system?
30 days, guys.
Wow. Don't take a drug test.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. Also, why not just have it on Friday after the game?
I guess you could do that, but isn't it better to have it early than late?
Yeah, I would lean early. He's getting a little Jim Harbaugh-esque. Intense guy,
nervous bird type stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it's a
weird hangups.
I don't know. They seem to they're starting to remind me of each other a little bit. But no, you definitely don't do it Friday. Friday, the whole world is kind of moved on and it's leftover time.
According to the very trusty Google AI overview, tryptophan is in your system for a very short amount of time, with its original form lasting only about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. You eat the turkey, but also here's the other thing. I know that turkey has tryptophan in it, but I think there's other things that contribute to why people get so sleepy on Thanksgiving. Maybe it's like the 5 beers you've had.
Nah. Maybe it's getting up at 3:30 every morning for work.
Or getting up at 3:30 to cook a turkey that day. Mm. Or maybe it's because you've had like half a bottle of red wine. Or maybe it's just because you ate a lot.
I think all of the above would be the answer I would take on that.
No,
can we do that in Jeopardy?
Maybe you're trying to get away from your family.
Eliminate the alcohol. Eliminate the alcohol. That's not a factor.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You're drunk right now.
That's really funny, though, from Hurley.
On the court last night, second-ranked Arizona put a 103-73 hurting on Denver in Tucson. The Wildcats have now won 41 straight home games against unranked opponents. In the pros, the T-Wolves led by 10 with 3 minutes to go. Anthony Edwards scored 43, but they don't win. They fall in OT in Sacramento, 117-112. The Blazers sent the Bucks to their fifth loss in a row, 115-103 in Milwaukee. And the Heat held off the Mavs, 106-102. Tyler Hero, 24 points in his season debut following ankle surgery. Now, it'll be hard to duplicate this.
Ohtani's ready. Trout's ready. 3-2. He struck him out! Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
That was the last World Baseball Classic back in 2023. At least Shohei making a return engagement, committing to Team Japan yesterday. And lastly, from the NHL, the Kings beat Ottawa 2-1. The Devils a 4-3 win over the Red Wings. L.A. and Jersey had lost 3 in a row. Guys, back to you.
Bogues, did you see that? What was the article about one of the players from Japan who said that he didn't want to join the Dodgers because he didn't want to like be teaming up with like a Japanese all-star team? He was kind of doing that thing that the old heads do in the NBA versus the new guys, where
about
he's like,
time.
When Michael Jordan's like, I don't want to join Larry Bird, that made no sense. and he wants to go somewhere else to have his own legacy.
Okay, is he good?
I don't know.
Let's come to the Mets.
Exactly.
Can you play first base? Sign him up.
Tatsuya Imai.
I didn't.
I think he's a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
So I never heard of him, which is probably not a great sign.
No, we usually learn about these guys for the most part now when they are posted. Pre-knowledge on Ohtani and stuff and Yamamoto, I think Phil is like the exception to the rule. A lot of times guys just show up like, oh yeah, here's Munetaka who hit 37 home runs last year.
There's a big star coming soon, right?
Though there's the guy now that's a young home run hitter that someone's going to pay a lot of money for. But there might be another pitcher looming somewhere.
Yeah, I thought there was a pitcher from Japan.
Yeah, and maybe we'll meet him in March in the World Baseball Classic, and then we'll get all geeked up about him.
This guy says he prefers not to play with any Japanese players.
Okay. Let's trade Kodai Senga.
I mean, it sounds like they are.
He's 28, just had a dominant season in Japan with a 1.92 ERA over 163 and two-thirds innings with 178 strikeouts, five complete games, three shutouts for the Saitama Seibu Lions.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I do think that's an underrated thing that we don't talk about with these Dodgers guys. Yeah. I've said it on the show. I am tired of these guys joining up. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, we killed the NBA guys for this, and yet Yamamoto and Sasaki and Shohei and all these other guys that have joined the Dodgers, guys taking pay cuts, guys
doing deferred money. Well, they usually don't join each other. It is kind of odd, right?
But, I mean, it's not even just the Japanese guys. I don't just name them, but then there's other guys, too. There's, you know, the lefty, who I can't remember his name now. Why am I bugging out? Snell. Sorry. Blake Snell.
Oh, the American guys.
Yeah, right. There's other guys, too, that are joining. It's
Glasnow and them?
Glasnow. Like, I mean, how many good players do you need?
All of them. And those guys need to win rings.
You can win a ring somewhere else.
Can you?
Yeah.
So you're talking about Kazuma Okamoto is the first baseman, right? Who's coming over.
Munetaka
Murakami.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah. He's a third baseman, though. But he can play anything.
Corner infield.
But apparently he hits like 210 off anything faster than 93. So
Joey Gallo.
Scratch him off the list.
Joey Gallo.
Fantastic. He's going to have a great career in Triple A.
Cross him off then.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Cares about batting average.
Well, we've got a lot to get to, including this bizarre story that is continuing to evolve with Bill Belichick's girlfriend. She's back in the news. Wow. MVP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's calling the plays, but she's calling the shots. It's time for As the Tar Heel Turns.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show, keeping our eyes on all things Bill Belichick, Pearl, and his girlfriend Jordan Hudson, who is back in the news again. So over the weekend, you got a report from, I believe it was the New York Post who had it, which is a Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick's daughter-in-law, the wife of Steve Belichick, who's the current defensive coordinator for the UNC Tar Heels, that they got into like a 40-minute shouting match. Oof. Yeah, and apparently it was the daughter-in-law that was doing most of the shouting, but that Bill was there, Jordan was there, Steve was there. And the way that the story paints this, and obviously there's two sides to every story and then the truth, so take this for what it is. But the daughter-in-law was like just railing against Jordan Hudson, saying, Bill, you've been brainwashed. She's got you brainwashed, all this stuff. And it got really uncomfortable, as you would expect.
Yeah, I mean, listen, because they're ultimately arguing over the will and stuff like that. And the estate, that is ugly.
Do you generally argue about someone's will in front of them, though? Like, that's kind of mean. Bill's only 73. It's not like he's on his deathbed. He's coaching the Tar Heels.
You don't say it's over the will, but I think that, I mean, it's not just the will, too. It's to see your dad or your father-in-law kind of date a much younger woman is probably really, really hard. I can't imagine going through that. To see Tom Perloff dating a 27-year-old, that would be strange.
Yeah, he would never.
He definitely would never.
Bill's got a big game against NC State, you know, coming up this weekend. So I don't know what he's messing around with this. So then there's another story, and this is has to do with Pablo Torre, who's a podcaster who Perloff and I know from our Sports Illustrated days, who did a few different podcast episodes about Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick and their relationship. And kind of alleged many, many things about Jordan and her age when she and Bill met. She may have been 19 when they met, and she was going to Patriots games, and Pablo found all the footage of her sitting in the family seats at the Patriots games when Bill was still the coach there, and just a lot of interesting things. Jordan Hudson now says she's suing Pablo Torre. So from the internet lawyers out there, doesn't really seem like she has much, but if this actually is a lawsuit, there is going to be something called discovery, which means lawyers can ask for lots of things. Pearl, you're the paralegal here. I should let you explain this. And that even more potentially dirty laundry could come out of this.
Oh. So it could end up backfiring.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, the other day she put a post on X. Pablo was talking about his traffic being very good. And she said, you're welcome.
Yeah, the downloads.
I honestly, you're much more engaged in the whole Pablo thing. Like, explain to me why this particular phenom gets so much attention.
What phenom?
The Jordan Hudson, Pablo Torre. Like, why is it raised to the level of lawsuits and all this? I don't totally understand. What's the smoking gun? The 19-year-old thing? Or like, what is she even suing about? And why is Pablo investigating her?
So Pablo was investigating like just their relationship and her involvement and how much she, Jordan, the girlfriend, is really running Bill's life.
And the program as well?
Well, and things, how do you divorce the head coach of the football team from the football program, right? So like they're saying that Jordan only does his personal engagements. Well, you can kind of argue that especially for a college football coach, kind of everything you do kind of reflects on the program because you are the face of it, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I told you exactly. And also, isn't she associated very much so with the program as well?
Absolutely, but she's not an employee. So first that had to be made, they had to get that all solved. And then Pablo had reported that she was banned from the facilities. And so now she started wearing a necklace that said banned, and instead she posted an all-access UNC credential and put it on social media, which I know this is a little inside baseball, but you get a lot of trouble generally when you post your credentials on social. Like when we go to the Super Bowl and we do interviews and take photos with people, we have to take them off because it'd be too easy for somebody to fabricate a credential and try to get in to a place they're not supposed to be.
So wait, was Pablo, and I don't know if you know the answer, was he just wrong about that report? Or was there a time where she was banned? That's what I want to find out. I hope they have all this discovery.
Well, maybe you should start a pod. And, you know, well, we have the Maggie Perloff pod, obviously. Right. But, you know, a second investigative pod and go dig into it. I don't know. But anyway, they're in a back and forth now on social media between Jordan and Pablo. And I guess this is what it all comes down to. What happened to Bill Belichick? You know, it's not working out on the field where North Carolina is, you know, not a good football team. It's been a very rocky indoctrination, if you will, to college football or whatever you want to say. It's been a tough first season. And it kind of died down with Jordan Hudson a little bit. And now it feels like it's back because she's now back on social media and she is engaging in all this stuff. And you know, she's the one who poked the bear with Pablo, right? Saying, you're welcome for your podcast being so successful, like, because your subject matter was me.
Yeah, I do think this is a bit of an online story. I'm not sure. So North Carolina plays NC State on Saturday. Of the millions of people, well, actually, I don't even know if it's millions, ACC Network. I'm not sure everybody's following the TikTok of this. You know what I mean? I'll bet you most people say, whoa. I'm not because even I have trouble wrapping my head around all the details because the details seem TBD in some senses. Like, I feel like Pablo's got to drop another three pods to get to the bottom of this because if she's suing, then maybe got some stuff wrong.
I don't know. Maybe she is. Now, one thing that is, you know, there was a documentary that was going to, remember it was going to be Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
They were going to follow North Carolina and then she got into it with the people from HBO. So that went by the wayside, and then they were going to do another Hulu was going to do like a behind-the-scenes documentary-style thing of Belichick's first season, and apparently that got kiboshed as well, and that she was going to be one of the executive producers on the show.
Lawsuit. This lawsuit sounds like a bad idea.
For her.
A really bad idea. I mean, I don't know if you guys talked about the fact that one of the screenshots she posted
trying to defend herself about her age.
Yeah. Someone then put the screenshot up, and what they could do, I guess, to figure out if something's been Photoshopped is you actually increase the exposure on a picture.
Okay.
And what her message looks like it's been doctored because there's two different shades of purple when you change the exposure. When you look at it normally, it looks like a normal message.
Right.
But when, I guess this is a trick that people do or a method people do to see if something's been doctored, and it looks bad. I mean, it looks like this message that she thought was this gotcha to say, hey, ha-ha, Pablo, you were wrong. If this thing actually was Photoshopped, then...
Oh, she's
cooked.
Oh, gosh.
And this is going to be a discovery, like you mentioned. So what other things are we going to learn that she's been trying to hide?
And by the way, this is not just like, you know, when you text message somebody and sometimes the messages are blue and sometimes they're green, like depending on what kind of phone everyone has. This is a totally different type of thing because it was a direct message.
It's an Instagram DM.
Direct message. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? First of all, Bill doesn't get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to shady things. Mm. Just calling it like it is.
Why is that?
Bella cheat. And then the other, not that I think he's giving her pointers on Adobe and how to create fake online images.
So?
I don't know. He's 73. He's probably not. Just shot in the dark. But she's a character. And she's got what kids today, Pearl, call main character syndrome.
Definitely.
Oh, sure.
Where she thinks like, basically, she's the center of the world, and it kind of is revolving around her. And maybe we're giving her enough attention that she would think that.
She's also of the age where you pull a lot of potentially, like, kind of underhanded things to get by. Like, you just graduated college. You know what I mean? People that are, like, faking their tests and faking pages.
Resume.
No, yeah.
Inflating the resume.
Reading the Spark notes to get to say that, so that they did the book. Like, this whole thing potentially being, like, phony is not surprising to me given her age group. I think she's part of an age where I think you are trying to fake it till you make it.
Yeah. That doesn't go away,
by the way, much bigger issue. I don't know how Bill and Mike Lombardi are going to find a quarterback.
That's a huge issue.
And you know that's all happening right now. Like, we think that the transfer portal isn't open. It is full on open. And I hope that, you know, because quarterbacks in the NFL didn't really seem interested in joining Belichick. Will they be interested in joining this 4-7 North Carolina program? That is a much bigger problem. What does he have, 2 years here?
He signed a 3-year deal for $30 million. I mean, is he going to survive? Is he coaching the team next year? Are we even sure about that?
I would think, I mean, it's 4-7 with no talent. I would think they'd give him one more chance and see how he does with a quarterback. But I don't know why a quarterback would go there.
Money.
Big question. Who has a better chance of turning it around, Belichick or Coach Prime?
Ooh. Or neither.
Put that poll up. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Coming up, more coaching news. This one of the Lane Kiffin varietal. Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.